Down the Dump Podcast.
Hello and happy Friday to you. Thank you for joining us on the Down to Dunk Podcast. We appreciate you listening. Remember, check us out on Twitter at DTD Podcast. You can also find us at Pod Center. Search Down to Dunk. I always feel like we need to preface or talk about why our name is Down to Dunk, because I feel like it didn't make any sense.
Do it.
The reason we are called Down to Dunk, this is Jay with Andrew and Taylor, is our friend Luke, who used to come periodically and probably will come back during the season, talk about NBA, was a fantasy basketball newbie. And so part of what fantasy basketball is, if you don't know, is you have different players that are listed as different things throughout the week. And, you know, it can be probable or questionable. Or in the NBA, they use DTD. And Luke always thought that that was a good thing. And so he filled it, his roster with guys that were DTD.
And O's. Yeah.
Because he thought O was outstanding. Yeah. And DTD was down to dunk instead of day to day. So he didn't realize that. So we stole that as our name. One of my favorite stories in the fantasy basketball life. And so that's why we call ourselves what we do. So we appreciate you listening to us. Taylor, how are you?
Pretty good. That's it, I got.
That's all it is.
That's it, I got.
Andrew, what about you, man?
I'm good. I'm 90% sure I have a gnat inside my nasal cavity right now.
Ooh. Oh. That's a real
NBA. Went and ran at Lake Hefner last night, and there was just this swarm of gnats.
Always.
And I ran through them, and I had my mouth closed, and I was like, I'm just going to get through this with my mouth closed because I don't want to eat one. And then one just shot up into my nasal cavity and struggled for its life. And I could feel it struggling for its life in my nasal cavity until it died. And I'm pretty sure it's still there.
That's the grossest way to start my morning.
It's terrible up there. Like,
did you
run
the lake, or did you run like the trails behind it like you did that one time?
We just the lake.
The lake. Road or whatever. Did you run the whole thing?
Not last night.
They did the other day, though.
We did on Sunday.
Nine and a half miles, Sunday. It's a good run.
That is a good run.
Well done. Are y'all training for something?
Yeah, we're doing a half in November.
Where at? Tulsa?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Well, how about that? Yeah. They don't have as many gnats in Tulsa.
Go Schlex.
Yeah.
Go Schlex. All right. Today, we are going to talk about a bunch of different things. We're going to talk about the Thunder. They've gotten two preseason games under their belts. They played Fenerbahce from Turkey, and they played the Philadelphia 76ers in Manchester, England. And so we're going to talk about that. They've made one roster move so far in cutting Daniel Orton. We're going to talk a little bit about that and the impact on the roster going forward. And then we're going to talk kind of our top five players at each position, which is way more difficult than you might think it is. And so we're going to do that, and then we'll kind of wind down with kind of our hopes here in the next couple of weeks that we want to see in the last preseason games. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this. All right, so the first game against Fenerbahce, you could see a lot of rust. Did you guys get to watch those games, both of those games?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just like saying Fenerbahce.
Fenerbahce.
Who has Lannis Klaza.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who looks fully Turkish now. I forgot that he was. Is he from Turkey, right? Or is he like Lithuanian?
He's Lithuanian.
Lithuanian.
He actually is Lithuanian. That's a nice.
Well, you know.
I mean, you know.
Every once in a while. So let me hear just a couple thoughts from you guys on what you kind of perceived from those preseason games.
I thought Serge's jump shot looks even better. His jump shot's even better. He does have. It looks like he has developed a tiny bit of a back to the basket game. He's got a nice hook shot. I've seen his hook shot with both hands now. And it actually looks okay. It doesn't look really awkward or anything. So that's okay. I haven't seen him shoot any threes yet, but that's fine. What else? Reggie Jackson looks phenomenal.
Awesome. I just have a hard time with both these games trying to take a whole lot away because the competition is not very good. I mean, the Sixers are probably worse than Fenerbahce.
Yeah, that's Fenerbahce isn't a terrible team.
No, they were. I thought they were pretty good. And one thing that Zeb from Loud City kept mentioning was like all their bench guys were like 16, 17 year old guys like playing against the Thunder. So
it's how the Euro leagues are. Like you're professional at 15, getting paid a salary. To
that's
play
how Ricky Rubio absolutely was like 14, I think.
And so what they do though, I love watching Euro basketball because of the way they move the ball, which that's why I like the Thunder playing them, because you're going to see ball movement like that. It's kind of the Euro brand that the Spurs play. Like,
yeah,
they're going to make four passes around the perimeter until they get somebody that's open. And so you have a lot of those late closeouts. And,
right.
And so it was a good little, I mean, it's a great practice is what I see it as for the Thunder. And they came out the victor. You don't ever like to lose those games.
No.
Even though they're completely insignificant. But I thought it was a really, really good practice, scrimmage, you know, kind of thing. And I loved Reggie. I thought he was great in both games. He's just shooting with confidence. He's playing with confidence. It looked like he shot better from the three-point line in the second game than he did. He was only 1 for 6. But it was enough. Yeah. Like he shot the ball with confidence enough or something that they kept running out on him.
Yeah.
And so he was killing, and it could be because the Sixers are terrible, but he was killing him on the pump fake at the perimeter and drive, and then he would just stop and knock down the short little 15, 20-foot jump shot. I thought Serge was the best I've ever seen him in two games, and I'm not saying that as far as I know it was two teams that you can't really evaluate. He was aggressive. He looked for a shot. He shot the ball incredibly well, the second game especially.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working himself into the back to the basket. And so the difference is that he got to that position and called for it, right?
Yeah.
And then back, left-handed, right-handed, little baby hook. The thing about his baby hook that people don't realize, in my opinion, is he elevates so high that by the time he's shooting it, it's almost like Durant's jump shot in the sense of how unblockable it is.
Yeah.
Very few people have the length and the athleticism to get up and block Serge Ibaka on the baby hook. And so if he can do that a little bit, and we're not saying, I don't want him to turn into, like, he's not going to turn into Shaq or something. Like, that's not even that Shaq had a great low post game.
The dream.
He's not going to be turning into Hakeem Olajuwon, but what he could do...
Yeah, that's Hashim's spot anyway.
So. Yeah, but what he could do is in spots where maybe the offense is stagnated, he could find some easy buckets at the rim. Could be ideal. My somewhat love for Steven Adams is growing.
You're not alone.
And it's dangerous because I know that he's going to get out there and defensively look lost a lot of times, but he's so much more athletic than anybody on our team as far as centers. Sinners, Sinners.
God, terrible.
And he's not terribly lost.
No, he's not. I'm like surprised. I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, Steven Adams just finished that basket. Now, that was weird.
Well.
Yeah.
He just did it again.
Like up and unders, and he
finished. I mean, he's finishing on Linus Klaza, who's... First of all, crappy defender. Second of all, he's a small forward. But still, he finished.
Well, but then against Spencer Haas, which Spencer Haas isn't a great center, but somehow he's been able to start for four straight years. And he played pretty well against Spencer Haas.
Yes, I wouldn't. I think Spencer Haas sucks.
Well, he does suck. He's a starter in.
Spencer Haas had 58 points he's in a starter Jamal Crawford's tournament this summer, okay?
Yeah.
He's a G.
I mean, I'm sure if he was, you know, at a rec league game, he would be awesome.
I'll tell you what was awesome, though. And this
he was.
you guys watched that Sixers game. There was a play where Durant, it was an inbound play, too. They throw the ball on Durant. Steven Adams sets up kind of on the baseline pick, the screen. And they did a screen and roll right there on the baseline.
Just dropped it off to him. Yeah.
He caught the ball.
Which for a center on the Thunder is spectacular. And then went up and finished at the. Let me dunked it to finish.
It was so smooth.
You're like, oh, okay. He's like, he kind of looks like. Don't anybody take what I'm saying. for what I like. Don't take it too far. No. But he looks a little bit like he dunks, kind of like Nick does, like where he's more athletic.
He just goes just, up and just a
two-handed dunk kind of thing, and he just looks a little softer in the finishing. And so, anyway, I'm kind of excited about Steven Adams. Lamb is the thing that everybody's. Like, he's got so much pressure on him that I think he's feeling it through the screen. Like, the Thunder fans are putting so much pressure. I love his length, his athleticism, his activity.
Yeah.
He is freakishly quick. The issue, and it's a substantial issue, is he can't throw it in the ocean from the beach.
I'm not worried about it.
I need somebody to keep telling me that, Andrew. It's good.
They're playing preseason games in Europe. What should we take from these games? Not a whole lot. And his shot's going to go in. The guy can shoot the ball. He has demonstrated that on multiple levels. I mean, whether or not... I mean, he hasn't really demonstrated it on the NBA level yet. Yes, but give the guy some time to get comfortable. This is essentially his rookie year.
True, true.
I mean, he hasn't played in the NBA. So give the guy some time to get comfortable. And two preseason games overseas are not the time to get comfortable. He's going to shoot the ball. He's going to shoot the ball. He'll probably shoot between 35 and 40-something percent. Like he's a good shooter. He's going to hit shots. And when Westbrook comes back between, you know, KD, Russ, Reggie, and Serge, he's going to have space to shoot the ball.
Tons of space.
So give the guy some time. He looks great on defense, which is really good to see, because Kevin Martin, anytime he wasn't shooting the ball well, he wasn't contributing anything else.
Right.
He was a liability on the defensive end. And if we can have a guy, even if Lamb's not shooting the ball well, he's getting steals. Did he have two steals in both those games? I mean, like that.
Like that's his like, length.
That matters.
I feel like his arms are 8 feet apiece. Like, they're ridiculously long. He's a really awkwardly shaped dude anyway. But he just feels really, really long. But the thing for me is, you know, like, one little itty-bitty glimpse of things that I see that I take and blow up into this big, huge statement. But so the Sixers got a defensive 3 second, right? They got that call against them. And Durant's on the floor, and they send Jeremy Lamb to the line, right? Which I think, in my head, and they've done it before. It's like when Russ would do something or Kevin would do something, and they would have a fast break, and the one or the other that's not shooting very well is behind him. They would often leave it for them, you know, because there's just something about when you finally mentally put the shot in. Like
get the ball.
You get the ball in the hoop, and all of a sudden. So they put Lamb at the line, because I think the Thunder people watch him and say, this dude can stroke from anywhere on the floor.
Yeah, just put the ball in the basket.
So try to get him kind of over that little hump, because I know it's frustrating him. Like, you see it when he finally made one in the first game. He's just like, God, finally.
And it was a nice shot, too. It wasn't, I mean, it was an off-the-dribble, you know, mid-range shot.
Mm-hmm. It looks like he has good potential to be, or he has potential to be a pretty good playmaker, too. He had some passes, he makes some plays really that were... that were just like super good, really good court vision or whatever. He had a backdoor pass that was perfect in the first game, I believe. And then he's a really good finisher too at the hoop.
Yeah.
If he gets on the fast break, that's a dude you have to watch out for too. Because
he also
a really
had a block
athlete
against the Sixers. Or
oh my
the,
god! Against over
was it Fenerbahce? Was that the Sixers?
It was.
It was the meanest block I've seen in
off
preseason,
the backboard.
Maybe. Gosh. He just smashed it, too.
Oh, my gosh, that was so good.
So, but, I think that if it depends how you evaluate Lamb, and it depends how you evaluate Steven Adams. If you evaluate them based on James Harden last year, then yes, you still, it's one of those things where you'll never be satisfied with who they are. But if you evaluate them based on maybe James Harden's first year, maybe, you know, I think it's not that the trade will ever come away and we'll be like, we won!
All we have to do is come away with two rotation players.
Sold, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if that happens, then, you know, we can have a starting center and at least a six man out of Jeremy Lamb, if not a starter. You know, that's you know, all you can really ask for. And those guys are super young. I mean, both those guys have, I mean, they have a lot of time to get to where you know, they can reach their potential. They have tons of time. So we can't put this pressure on them. You know, we may not know, and it may be 3 or 4 years before we know.
So they've got another game on Tuesday. It's actually here at the Peak. And I can't remember who they're playing.
Denver.
Which will be, you know, who cares? It's preseason. They don't really care. But they'll be glad to be back in Oklahoma City playing in front of, you know, a couple thousand fans will be there at least. So it'll be a good game.
2,000 people.
So did you hear, just to kind of transition out of the Thunder, but did you hear that the last 3 years they've done a scrimmage. 1 year they did it at Midwest City, which is where Andrew got to meet, I think, the whole team, like. 1 year they did it at UConn, and 1 year they did it at Putnam City West. So this year what they're doing is they are closing the scrimmage. Like, they're not going to do it at a high school, but they're going to open it up to first responders and families and all the, like, kids from the Moore tornado disaster.
That's
so they're doing some stuff to... for that. So it's kind of cool.
That's a good idea, but how do I benefit from this?
Yeah, it's really hard to think, hey, I want to watch him play.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. Anyway.
So, you know, it's exciting. You know, it's basketball season. I think there's probably, 17 or 18 days until the season starts. And so we're excited about that. One move that didn't happen this week, Daniel Orton got waived or cut or released.
He gone.
Which I'm not going to lose any sleep over. No. Except for I did see him just the other day in line. I go to this little kind of hipster bakery in Nichols Hills to get our bread or cookies. They have really good cookies. Daniel Orton was standing behind me getting 2 dozen cookies. He's humongous.
He probably bought 4 dozen cookies yesterday. Because he was eating them and crying in his house that he's packing up.
Here's the deal.
Did you say anything to him?
No, I didn't say
anything. Why not?
Say, you're probably going to get cut, bro. Peace out.
He's awkward. Here's the deal. What people don't realize about NBA players, I'm big. According to normal people, I'm big.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think I saw today the average height is like 5'8 or something in America right now.
For what?
5'8, 5'9, 5'10, something like that.
Oh, that's the average height for men and women.
Men.
Oh, just really? Yeah. We're getting shorter.
So anyway. I saw it was this weird picture anyway. According to statistics, like the average man is like 5 foot. 8 and 230 pounds. There's a picture of it, and the body mass index for the average American and average male American is 1 point away from obese.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
With a 30, I think it's a 30.
That's the most beautiful 38 thing I've
inch
ever
waist
heard.
Or something like that. So kind of a fatty.
That's cool.
And I can say that because really that's actually, cool, man. I have a thinner waist than that. But anyway. So I'm a bigger guy, right? I'm 6'3", and I weigh 255, 260, 350, something like that. So
what you don't realize,
I feel dwarfed around guys like Daniel Orton. He is so big. And so seeing NBA guys that can athletically move up and down the court that are as huge as some of them are, is the most spectacular thing about the NBA. Like, the first time I sat close to the basketball court, I just, like, I bet I had my eyes open as wide as I could for the whole game, because I was like, these guys are monsters.
It's amazing.
Especially a guy like LeBron.
Oh, my God.
6'9", 260 or something like that, 250, and can just fly. Anyway, that to say, Daniel Orton's not on the Thunder anymore.
That's why you didn't talk to him?
Yeah, I was intimidated. No, he was real quiet. You can just tell he just kind of was like, I don't want to be talked to.
He's kind of weird.
I heard Lamb's pretty weird, too.
They're both kind of awkward. They both came out to my work to talk to the boys, and they were both just really awkward.
Yeah. Jeremy Lamb, he looks weird and he acts weird.
Yeah.
Good thing he's good at basketball, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
So Orton's gone. That gives another roster spot for them to possibly make a move or do something. Not make a move, but do something. What do you guys think? Do you have any opinion on what they do with that?
Nothing. I don't think they do anything.
Nothing. Because now they have three centers, which is fine.
A lot of people are saying that they may use that to go get some sort of point guard.
What do you think about this Deonte Garrett kid that they're playing?
I think he's chaos in a bottle.
I don't think about him.
I don't really like him either. He looks sporadic and out of control.
The guy can dribble, but that's about it.
But he dribbles too much.
Yeah, he's crazy. I wouldn't find
He's him. Next to be
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
I think they may leave roster spots open. Just, in, you know, guys get bought out, you know, halfway through the season.
Yeah,
they're gonna
all
leave.
These trade exceptions.
Yeah, they're going to leave. I think they'll leave a roster spot open.
Hey, speaking of roster spots, why did they sign Ryan Gomes?
I don't know.
Because he hasn't touched the floor.
Is that Scott Brooks, though, more than Presti?
Presti can manipulate who gets playing time.
Yeah.
Like, they're a team. Like, they
talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they signed him. He's not going to play anyways, but I don't know.
I figured it's kind of like Corey Brewer thing. It doesn't make any sense. So let's talk.
Ronnie Brewer.
Ronnie Brewer. Oh, God.
If it was Corey Brewer.
I'd be the happiest guy in the world if we had Corey Brewer.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the backwards man.
Backwards.
His head's on backwards.
His head's on backwards. He's a goofy
little. And he's happy about it. He's so happy like all the
this.
Time.
Why is this? That is totally.
His head's on backwards
like.
And he's so smiley.
Like this.
He is. I like Corey Brewer.
Oh, man.
And Ronnie Brewer. I like all the Brewers. The Milwaukee yeah. Brewers.
Actual Brewers.
Actual beer Brewers.
Coffee Brewers.
I like them, too.
All Brewers.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Y'all ready? I'm so ill-prepared for this. We're going to do the top five at each different position. And I'm going to say a lot of stupid things. So hopefully Andrew and Taylor take these.
Then you can go first.
Oh, gosh.
I can't wait.
All right. Let's start with point guards.
Point guards.
Point guards.
Okay. So let's make sure that we understand the direction that we're going in, and I'm just bringing this upon you because I just thought of it.
Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul. Is that
these
it?
Are the,
John Stockton.
We're ranking these players for this season. Like, I want this player for this season.
Okay.
Not like I want this player moving forward or I want to build around this player. It is I want this player for this next season.
Okay.
And I want these are my top five for this next season if I were to pick players.
This was hard for me not to think about it like fantasy wise too, because that would mess that would
kinda work, right?
But
because fantasy is the guy you want for this season.
On offense.
That's
yeah,
true.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway.
Number one, Royal Ivy. I'm just kidding.
Number one.
Where's he at now?
Who knows?
He
knows?
May not be in the league right now.
Home. Number one for me,
home,
Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Without
yeah.
a doubt, to me.
He's number one.
Number one overall, regardless, I think. But
we can't
number one
start
specific.
With number one because we're going to get anticlimactic.
Number five. Womp, womp. Oh, gosh. Well, then somebody else start with their
okay.
fifth
one. My fifth point guard I have is Steph Curry.
Okay.
It's so hard for me to consider him a point guard, but yeah.
Why?
I don't know why.
He dribbles well. He's a playmaker. He shoots the ball.
Yeah.
He's an awesome point guard. I want him for this season. He's my fifth.
Yeah.
Four, I have Tony Parker.
I'm with, yeah, that's what I have.
Tony Parker is awesome. Number three, Russell Westbrook.
Ooh, you
only,
did it.
Only because of the injury.
Okay.
Is why I would not want him over this next guy. And number two, I have Derrick Rose.
Yep.
I want Derrick Rose this season. I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's going to be healthy.
Oh, God, he looks so good in these preseason games.
Just seeing him be on the court, running around, and not looking timid.
There's nothing that looks different about him.
So I definitely want Derrick Rose, and then Chris Paul's number one.
Yeah. I'd agree. That's my list.
So let's think of some guys that are outside your top five that you think about.
The guy who I really...
Damian Lillard.
No, Lillard I didn't deliberate
Kyrie
about at all. Irving was the one who I deliberated about.
There's Rondo, too.
Rondo, yeah, but Rondo's... Hurt. But the injury
oh, right. okay,
keeps
okay,
me
okay,
from
okay, okay, okay.
even
what
considering
about a guy
him.
Like yeah. John Wall, Ricky Rubio?
These
I don't
are
think
like second-level guys still.
Yeah. Those are the second-tier guys. I feel like these five are... You know, these guys... one thing about all these guys is that they've played in the playoffs, and they've led teams in the playoffs to at least one round victory.
Right. Darren Williams.
Darren Williams is another one that I mean,
probably in that 6 to 10 range.
Yeah, he's there. I don't know. The guy doesn't inspire me. I don't feel like he inspires
so
players around him.
Yeah, he's just kind of
so I just don't. I
it's
don't
like
know.
A default position for.
I
him.
Just think the Nets are going to be. I think they're going to be pretty good actually, but
I don't believe in the Nets.
We'll see. You can't have Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Like, that nullifies how ungamer-like Joe Johnson and...
I know. They're so old, though.
They're so old, and they're not in this, you know, life-giving place like Boston was.
That's true. That's true. Shout out to Boston.
All right, you give life, Boston. Keep it up.
I'm excited to watch Derrick Rose back. Somebody I saw just the other day on Twitter said that the return of Derrick Rose and the way that team kind of is put together puts them as the immediate. Oh, it was our Zach Lowe from Grantland. He did kind of the ranking the contenders and the.
Yes.
And he put Pacers right outside the contenders level, but he had the Bulls. The Spurs, he still had the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had, obviously, the Heat as kind of the reigning champs kind of thing. But all right, let's do shooting guards.
Shooting guards tough.
Because there aren't a whole lot of good ones. Now, we're saying specifically, like, straight shooting guards, not small forwards that kind of play both.
So where do you put Iggy, then?
I put him as a shooting guard.
Okay. Okay, because I do, too.
Number five, Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
Joe Johnson's still really good. He still shoots the ball well. He's a playmaker for a shooting guard. And he rebounds the ball well. Number four, Andre Iguodala.
Yep.
I wonder how well he's going to fit with this team.
He doesn't even play shooting guard on his own team.
Yeah, he does.
So Klay Thompson's the three?
No, Klay Thompson's been coming off the bench, and they've been starting Harrison Barnes. That's in a preseason game, though.
No, so who was there? And then David Lee and Bogut. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But who knows what that will be in the regular season.
I worry about Iguodala because of his ability to shoot the three ball on this team because that team just relies so much on that.
Mm-hmm.
But he does so many other things so well that I think it's going to be okay because he can do a lot with the basketball. He can pass well. He's an incredible defender. And he could essentially be their playmaker in crunch time. So I really like this guy. Number three, Kobe Bryant.
We're talking this year.
This year.
Okay.
Now, that's partly because
the Achilles.
There's not a lot of other shooting guards that you're jacked about, right? Because he's not coming back until.
He'll be back within the month of November, I think he'll be back.
Okay. So before Russ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Kobe Bryant last year was incredible.
If there was anybody else in the league that had the same injury, I would not say the same timetable.
I know. That's the thing.
He's such a freak.
This guy, he's an exceptional player in every sense of the word exceptional.
Yeah.
His work ethic is like none other. There's not another guy. I mean, Michael Jordan was like this.
They are very similar in so many ways.
Mm. But he's an absolute psychotic guy who wants to play basketball.
Yep. Yeah.
So I agreed. I'm with you.
I can't
you don't
count
have to convince
out.
Me too much.
Number two, Dwayne Wade.
Wow.
Number two. Hey, guys, just in, Dwayne Wade tweeted it. Andrew, I guess I'm going to have to prove to him once again my place in history.
Wow.
Oh, and Andrew's said, show me, don't tweet me.
I did. Actually, dang. I'm actually completely locked out of my own personal Twitter account.
You are?
Yes.
Why?
I try to, like, get my password back through the email, and it doesn't come to me. And I don't know how to, you can't call Twitter?
You probably put in the wrong email when you're signing up.
No, it says it's the right one. Oh,
really?
Somebody's stolen it.
It's gone.
Someone's intercepted.
And no one's tweeting anything from the account. Like, I looked, I was like, oh, what are they doing?
They're just waiting. They're buying their time.
No, they just hacked in.
Check out my wiener.
And just basically shut it down, and I can't do anything now. Wow. It's pretty awesome.
Shaq attack. Who's
Anyways,
number one?
James Harden, number one.
Yep.
That's hard for me to say. Even though it might be true, that's hard for me to just say. I don't know.
He's the guy over all these guys. I would want him over any of these guys this season. His ability to shoot the three.
Yeah.
He's a one-man fast break. He takes your offense to an elite status.
It's good playmaker.
He's a good passer. You know, defensively, he was just awful last year, but as Thunder fans, we know that he has the potential to be a good defender because we watched him as a good defender on the Thunder team. So he's just learning how to be a superstar. So I think that he's going to put it together defensively. I believe in James Harden.
At my number one, I had Swaggy P.
So
I had Nick Young, so I could pee.
I had to deliver it between Harden and Jeremy Lamb.
He's
yes.
Yes, and it's the best thing that's ever happened.
It's so awesome.
Without Kobe right now, he's like
shooting all.
I watched him last night trapped in the corner.
Yeah.
And he shot the ball.
Oh, God.
And
I'm
it was
so, glad
so
he did.
Awesome.
I love it.
There's some
that will all end when Kobe's back. You
do
know,
you guys follow Sean Hyken on Twitter? Uh-uh. Do you follow Sean Hyken?
I don't follow anybody on Twitter anymore.
Oh, that's right. You're like that. Anyway, he's watching all these Lakers thing, and he tagged this. He's calling this team the Swag Time Lakers. Play on like the Showtime Lakers.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Because they're just so swaggy. Even Farmar out there threw it like over the head behind. Did you see that pass to Sacker?
He tried to do it again like a couple plays later and just threw it out of bounds.
Oh, man, that team is so funny.
I also
right now.
I also watched Chris Kaman and Steve Nash pass the ball back and forth to each other in the paint until they turned the ball over. They like pass it back and forth at least four times.
So you're excited to watch the Lakers this year, kind of like you're somewhat excited to see train wrecks.
I think they're going to be less of a train wreck than they were last year.
That's probably true.
I kind of think you're right too, and this is
how
such
could
a
they
bad
not
team.
Be.
Also, can we talk about our Oklahoma guy, Xavier Henry? Has been kind of okay in these games.
He's playing for the Lakers.
Yes. Yeah, and he's getting like
he's going to make the team. He's like had like 29
digits.
Points in one game.
Great, good for him.
Yeah, he'll make it. He'll make the team.
Small forwards, y'all.
Number five, Kawhi Leonard. I love Kawhi Leonard as a defensive player. He can shoot the ball from distance.
When
he can score in the paint.
When did they start transitioning a little bit more towards him?
Last
never.
Year? Oh, that's
because these
true.
Guys never.
Never grow old.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea. It's going to take a while.
We watched Manu last year, and he got old quickly in that playoff series. Kawhi, he's just so
well,
good.
He's the third guy in their big three now.
I don't know if I agree with him being fifth on that list because there's so many good small forwards, but.
Well, who you got?
Josh Smith, I think, is somebody we talked about could possibly be in that.
I just think of him as a power forward.
Me too. I mean, I know he's playing small forward this year, but it seems like by default you put him at small forward.
Yeah.
Because you want to play Monroe and Drummond, so Josh Smith has to play.
I would want Kawhi Leonard because of his mentality, his work ethic. I mean, the guy couldn't shoot. He couldn't shoot coming into the NBA, and now he has a reliable three-point shot.
Yeah, he's a worker. Like, I mean, he's a perfect Spurs guy. I mean, it's crazy how that.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's awesome.
That's fine. I don't feel that strongly against it.
Who else? Who else, though?
You know, there's other Klay Thompson. I probably wouldn't take him over Kawhi, obviously. You still have who knows what Tyreek Evans is going to bring since he's kind of moving to that three. Jeff Green's another guy that the thing with Jeff Green, I'm not saying he's as good as Kawhi Leonard at all. That's what I'm saying. But as far as this year, he's going to get anything he wants on that team. He could shoot the ball 25 times a game if he wants to, which may not be good for him.
Yeah. But we've seen what Jeff Green can do.
So I'm with you. And Rudy Gay is another guy that I wouldn't take over Kawhi, but he's somebody that is going to get more usage, get more points, get more.
Yeah.
Probably statistically everywhere, but I'm not that bad.
I'm leaving Paul Pierce off this list.
Yeah, he's not on my list.
Yeah. It's time for him to be left off.
Yeah. Okay.
Number four.
Paul George.
Yeah.
Paul George is awesome.
My only thought with him is that too low? But putting him over to the top three would be really hard.
Yeah, I know. That's
Paul
that's,
George is so good.
You get this was like the biggest deliberation between players was between
Melo,
Paul George, and then my number three is Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony just has such a large impact on a team on the offensive end that I think that it is an even greater impact than what Paul George does on offense and defense.
I'd agree. Carmelo's one of those guys that a lot of people dislike that I love. Like one of my favorite non-Thunder players in the NBA. Has always been.
He's an exceptional offensive player.
Yes.
And he's not just god awful on defense, though.
He's not terrible.
Yeah, when he plays good players, he tries really hard.
And he's super strong. I think it was the 2008 Olympics. They asked who the strongest player on the team was, and they said it was Carmelo Anthony.
Really?
And Dwight Howard and LeBron were on that team.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You can see it, though.
You remember early in Durant's? I mean, Melo dominated Durant every time they played,
killed him.
And then would always hit that backbreaker. you know, in the corner or whatever. And I mean, remember one where he hit in the corner with like three guys on him, just knocked down the game winner. And then the Thunder got way better than the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one playoff series, and they're like, oh, we'll beat you 4-1.
Yeah.
Twice in a row, 2 years
But then Aaron Aflalo almost came back and completely ruined it. Remember that?
Just no. Wait for Aaron Aflalo.
Just wait for Aaron Aflalo to come back.
All right. So Melo's number three. Who do you guys got at two?
It's KD and LeBron.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
1A and 1B?
Yeah. They're the two best players in the whole NBA. Mm-hmm. They're both. You know, KD's getting better. LeBron is at his absolute peak. He's going for a three-peat. I don't know. We don't have to say a whole lot about those guys.
Three-peak?
Mm.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Ooh, power forward. This will be fun.
This is the most difficult. And
tick, 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 tick.
I don't know. Number five, I have LaMarcus Aldridge. Number four, Christopher Bosch.
Yeah, thank you for putting Chris Bosch on there.
Keep going, because I got to...
Number three, Blake Griffin.
Oh, man.
Number two, Timothy Duncan.
Who is number one?
Number one, Kevin Love.
Okay. Okay, people left off your list. Zach Randolph, Dirk Nowitzki.
Anthony Davis. Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
David Lee.
Yes.
Yeah, David Lee. Who else? That's pretty much it. That would.
There
that
are a lot of good power forwards.
Yeah.
And Nikolai Vucevic. Just kidding. Nobody puts him on this.
And he's a center.
That's
he's a center.
But it's hard to argue. He's a big I know. Old it's so center. Funny how these this rankings thing I have going on here is has DeMarcus Cousins. Like, he's not a. No, nobody would consider him a power forward unless he ranked as a
no,
power
he's
no.
not a power forward. I think all those guys are. Elite power forwards. All of them are obviously very gifted on the offensive end. None of them are particularly incredible defenders.
I would say Tim Duncan is a good defender.
Yes, he is.
You're talking about on your top five?
Yes.
Yeah, none of them excite me on defense except for maybe...
Chris Bosch is actually a good defensive player.
He just gets asked to do way more than he should. Like, he's guarding center sometimes, but... We have LeBron. He can play any position.
The thing with Bosch is him and LeBron are the rim protectors, too. They don't really have anyone. I mean, Chris Anderson's kind of out there, but
Bosch had more impact in a game where he scored 0 points that I've, you know, like.
In the finals this year, he was incredible.
He was the one who had the rebound in game six and passed it out to Ray Allen.
He had so many blocks in the finals, too.
He did.
He had that block on Danny Green that was.
Bosch is crazy. He's my favorite photo bomber in the history of the world.
Yeah.
He looks goofy. He's funny, though. I think he's completely overlooked because of being on that team, which is what he chose to be. He could have been in Toronto or Charlotte.
And he's extremely happy doing what he's doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody would have paid him gobs more money to go and be the man, but he wouldn't have championships.
He didn't want to be the man either.
No. I like him so much better on the Heat than Dwayne Wade.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Dwayne Wade takes the ball away from LeBron. And they're good together. They are good together, but I feel like they could be a better team without Dwayne Wade.
Which is hard for me because I've always loved Dwayne Wade.
Especially right.
This team's are in three straight finals. Though.
I know.
I don't know. We can nitpick, but.
Just let me, like them.
Who's your guys' top five? Because I feel like the power forwards, especially, just comes down to preference. I feel like Z-Bo and.
Yeah,
you know,
David
Dirk.
West is a guy.
David West.
Oh, David West. Golly, I'd put David West in my top five, probably over Aldridge.
David West has been really good. He was super good last year. I'll put LaMarcus Aldridge at five again. I'll put Dirk at four. So good.
I'm excited. Here's my only thing with Dirk Nowitzki is how does he come back? Last year he was good at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so hurt all season.
Yeah.
You know, is he one of those guys that's gone over that peak and started kind of going back? You know, like,
yeah.
That's my thought with Zach Randolph. Like, Zach Randolph, he put so much wear and tear on his body. And 2 years ago, he had that massive knee injury. He was great in the playoffs last year until they played the Spurs. There's going to be a year where he comes back and he can't bulldog as much as he does.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if this is the year for him. Yeah. And he's I mean, he is that. That's exactly who he is. And so when that starts fading.
I just feel like I know what I'm going to get from all five of these guys.
Yeah. That's why I kind of like Who did we just freaking say?
Tim Duncan.
Kevin Love. Of course I love Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan.
David West.
Yeah, David West. That's why I like David West. You know what you're going to get. He can shoot really well. He's aggressive. He's a rebounder. He can defend pretty well. That's why I probably put him in my top five over Aldridge probably.
I think I'll put Tim Duncan at one and Kevin Love at two still. Just because I like Tim Duncan's defense. And he's still a really good offensive player too.
And for me with Kevin Love is you got to – like. I've got to see him healthy for a season. It was so bad last year. Thumb came back, re-aggravated.
He was so good last year still, too. Even when
I just feel like they're...
played 2 weeks, it felt
they're like freak injuries, though, I feel like. Yeah. It's not like a nagging, you know, knee or ankle.
That's what I read from him or heard or saw an interview where he said, you know, like, what can you do to kind of... What have you been working on to avoid getting hurt this year? And he said, my luck...
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know, like, it was just bad luck is all it was. Like,
it was Brandon Roy is what it was.
Yes, it was. Portland's still dealing with that. Speaking of, shout out to CJ McCollum. Yeah. All right, sucks. The center position.
Who'd you put at five?
Anthony Davis.
You did?
Yes.
This is hard, too.
He's been playing power forward the whole time since he's been in the NBA. Are you going to
put who's going to play center on that team?
Jason
Noel.
Smith. I hate Jason Smith.
I feel like they're interchangeable. I feel like they're interchangeable. I mean, Anthony Davis is going to be their rim protector.
Yeah. But it's like
sometimes rim protector is a
it's like Tim Duncan too. You can say Tim Duncan's a center too.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Okay, well then I'll let you.
Please. For Brook Lopez.
Okay.
I think he's going to be really good this year.
Yeah. Three, Joakim Noah.
Okay, this is getting really interesting.
Two, Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
Number one,
Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard.
Yeah. So, guys, let's talk guys you left off. Al Horford.
Horford was tough. I just think that Anthony Davis is going to be a freaking superstar. I think that guy is going to be amazing.
I think this is going to be his year. This is going to be his rookie of the year year.
Larry Sanders, Greg Monroe, DeMarcus Cousins.
Roy Hibbert was left off.
Yeah.
Roy Hibbert's defense is...
I just don't know as far as... I don't know what to expect from Roy Hibbert this year because his regular season was not very good, and then he was awesome against the Heat. So I don't...
Pekovic.
I don't know who the real Roy Hibbert is.
Pekovic, I really like
top
Pekovic.
Five, but he's good. There's also you have the kind of young guys coming in, not Vucevic, from the Raptors. I just completely blanked on it.
Valanciunas.
Andre Drummond.
Also, there's a Tyson Chandler who would have been on this list 2 years ago, years ago.
Yeah, easy.
Eddie Curry who would have been on this list never. I've always had a thing for DeMarcus Cousins, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, in my opinion, the most talented of all of these guys.
Yeah. He has tons of talent.
They just gave him a huge contract.
Yeah.
Which we'll see how ill-advised that was. Is there ever a year you feel like he's... Like, is there ever a chance that this is the year that he puts it together?
Not as long as he's on the Kings, no.
They're trying to change a lot this year.
Well, the Kings have changed, but they don't have any... They don't have a guy to say, hey, stop.
Stop being
an idiot. He's their team captain. He's the leader on this team. I do not want him as the captain of my ship.
Nope.
He's got to... I think for him, if he was like on the Thunder right now and he had Russell Westbrook and KD to be like, stop being an idiot, like he'd be awesome.
They would.
Or if Kevin Garnett punched him in the face in practice, like he would be awesome then.
I'm with him. I like Dwight. I like Gasol. I like... Joking, no. My deal with your top five is I'd probably switch some people around. Anthony Davis is another one of those guys that I think Al Horford gets the benefit of the doubt for me because of the fact that he's done it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Lopez probably above Noah just because of the offensive, what he brings offensively. And it'd be hard for me not to put Hibbert in there if I could somewhere, maybe even above Davis right now, just another one of those show me things. So that'd probably be mine. I'd probably go Hibbert, Noah, Lopez, Gasol, Dwight.
Okay. I will also put Brook Lopez above Joakim Noah.
Man, I can't believe you guys are doing that.
Well,
just offensively.
I just I know, but offensively, but on defense, let me think.
I just have seen this guy take, you know, he cares so much. And he is the just the heart and soul of a team. And he's done it in the playoffs against teams. He goes just all out. And I don't see that same fire for Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez, maybe the most, probably, he is the most skilled offensive center.
Yeah.
In the NBA. But what has he done? Like, they couldn't even beat the Bulls that didn't have Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
And that had a hobbling joke.
I don't put that on Brook Lopez at all.
He's on that team, though.
But
he's
a leader on that team. You wouldn't put that on Joakim Noah, though. When the Bulls lose, it's Derrick Rose's fault, not Joakim Noah's at all. You can't say, oh, well, we'll just lump Carlos Boozer in there.
But they did win. They won the first round. They beat the Nets.
He did put his guts out, too.
And he was awesome.
He was awesome.
That's why I almost put Noah above Gasol. But Gasol's skill set is just that big. Noah's impact on the floor in a big game is always just huge. Like, that guy, you're going to notice that guy. Yeah. He's going to do anything you need him to do, he's going to go do it.
Okay, I'll do that. But Gasol's still two, because his defense is still really good, too.
Gasol's, I have Gasol at two.
And I have Ashiq at one. Dwight Howard's not on my list.
Ashiq is the center. Dwight Howard's power forward, so let's change your power forwards too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have that big of a deal with your list. I think you're probably still higher on Anthony Davis than I am, just because
of any of my guys, that's my one reach, because I do think that he's going to be that good this year. I would want him over other guys just because I think.
How's he looked in the preseason?
He's going to be
so good.
Really good. I don't try not to think about that.
I know,
though.
But he's been. But him and Jrue Holiday are just already clicking.
He had like 30 points, 11 rebounds, like three
blocks.
What's
he doing as far as points? Is it at the rim? Is he shooting a little bit? Is he. Because he can do everything.
I have no idea.
He's. I've been. All I see are highlights from those games because they don't televise any of them or they're not on League Pass or anything like that. But it looks like most of his stuff is at the rim or around the rim and second chance stuff, I think, too. But.
I'm excited to watch the Hornets or the Pelicans.
Me too. That's like my. I think I'm gonna get him on my League Pass.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna pick.
Do you choose teams? Is that
well? You can pick five teams. It's cheaper than like getting the whole thing.
Oh, huh. How about that?
So I think I'm gonna pick them.
A la carte.
Hold on. Can we just to kind of wrap up our players? Can we rank our top five teams that Taylor's gonna get on League Pass?
Please tell me.
You can't get the Thunder.
No. You don't pick Thunder.
Golden State.
Yes.
New Orleans.
Sure. I have two East, three West.
Heat?
No.
Trailblazers.
Yes. Well, no, it's between Trailblazers and Rockets right now.
Yeah, Rockets are probably smart.
Rockets would be awesome. Two East.
Gosh. Not the Pacers.
Orlando.
That was one, but I'm not doing it. I actually can't remember who I was
doing right now. The Knicks.
Who was I going to do? No, I wasn't going to do the Knicks because, see, I didn't pick teams that are going to be on TV a lot. So Lakers, I really wanted to pick Lakers, but they have 29 national TV games this year.
29
with that team.
National TV games.
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, Cleveland's one.
Wizards.
Wizards, the other one. That's who it was. Yeah.
That's a really, really random collection of people.
But these are a lot of teams you're not going to see on TV.
Absolutely.
You see how easily I was able to guess Taylor's teams, though?
That's pretty good. Pretty impressive.
Hey,
Taylor.
Good job.
Taylor is fairly predictable.
I was on the line with Pacers, too.
Pacers aren't a fun team to watch.
I'd just be like, oh, God, 75 to 78. I'm out.
Oh, they still can't score.
And I wanted to pick the Nets just because.
How many more shooters do they need?
And I wanted to pick the Nets just because I wanted to give them so much crap for how bad they are with all the good players they have on their team. All
right, here we go.
What? Who you pick?
No,
your
no,
five?
You and me.
You and me.
The Nets.
Okay.
Give me an over under point, and I'll take over, and you can take under
for record,
and we'll bet something
for record.
Yeah.
What is their line set at? Hold on.
I'll take you to dinner. I'll take you to dinner. We'll go eat payaway on me.
This is hard because I don't think they're going to be a bad regular season team. I think they're going to just not have any chemistry that's going to get them anywhere in the playoffs is my deal.
Wow, they got a whole season to find chemistry.
But they did last year, too.
All right. My assumptions. Let's try to figure out what we would assume. I bet it's Nets. Over 50.
I'll go under. I'll go under 50.
If we set it at 50, that you would go under, I'd go over probably.
Okay, let's do it.
50 puts them in the front of this.
They're at 52 and a half.
I'll go under 50 because they're going to be like, I bet they're like 48.
I think they'll be 52.
Okay.
I think I almost agree exactly with Las Vegas.
Okay, deal.
What's funny is I think they're way over 52 and a half.
You think they get to 60?
You think they're over 52 and a half?
Yeah.
How many games are the Heat going to pick up in the regular season?
I think they actually go down. I think the Heat go down compared to last year.
What they have last regular season? 60.
I think the bottom of the East is so awful. And that there are so many teams that are worse in the East.
Who's in the Nets division too? Celtics?
Celtics, Knicks.
Knicks. I think Raptors. The Knicks are going to be better this year. Anyway.
Than they were last year?
No, Knicks are going to be better than Nets this year.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry.
I think so.
This would be fun, man.
Would you like to make a bet then? Who has a better record?
I'll take the Nets way over. I mean,
you'll take the Nets. Wait. No, our bet is who's going to have the better record at the end of the
That's a no brainer.
End of regular season, Knicks or Nets?
Nets.
Okay, I'll take Knicks.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, this is. But we're gonna take you out to dinner. You're gonna take us out to dinner.
Right.
We're not waxing our nipples or buttholes or
no,
whatever.
No, we already made that bet.
I'm not doing that.
No, you're doing it.
It doesn't matter anyway because Owen's not going
to
play.
He does that anyways.
Plus, we have to define.
I have nothing to wax.
I promise it's not there. We have to define what playing means anyway. Like, is he on the active roster for 50 games? Yes.
He played minutes for 50 games.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got ourselves a bet. Thanks for joining us, part of the Down and Dunk podcast. We appreciate you listening. Remember, spread the word. Everybody rate us, review us on iTunes. Check us out there. You can search for us in your pod center on your phone. Search Down to Dunk. Follow us on Twitter. We love talking to our listeners and people that enjoy basketball like we do. Thanks for listening. Check us out next week.
Amen.